At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Lowe's sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
Hey, 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 how y'all doing? It's your girl, Dede Leggett, a.k.a. The Core Queen. We are back with episode 78 of The Core Queen Chat. Y'all, we have an amazing topic today. I need y'all to tune in and tap in because I got a panel of guests that's going to get into it today. Are Gen X and millennials at fault for the Gen Z mentality? We're going to get into it today, y'all. But first, before we get into it, I'm going to introduce my guests one by one. Bring them on the platform. Let y'all know who y'all be talking to today. I'm going to start out with my boy, Patrick Edmondson, better known on stage as DJ P Nominal or by his alter ego, Black Dragon. I don't even want to know. I don't want to know. He is a seasoned DJ, producer, and entertainer with over 20 years in the music industry. In 2018, Patrick expanded his creative reach into podcasting, joining the team at Intelligently Ratchet, first as a producer behind the scenes and later stepping into the spotlight as an on-air personality. Today, he continues to perform at both public and private events, often touring with his dynamic DJ and live band combo known as The Drop. Lord, we got The Drop and we got the Black Dragon. I don't know what Patrick got going on, but y'all welcome Patrick to the show.
What's up? How you doing?
Welcome, Patrick. Welcome.
Good to see you again.
You too. I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you on the show. I'm ready to get into it. Let me introduce the rest of my guests. We got my boy, my dog, Light Bright. He gonna kill me. Mr. Eric DeWalt. He is a husband, father, champion, servant leader, mentor, brand ambassador, tribal chief, model, the LeVar Ball of soccer. He is the answer to all your custom website and app needs. He is the bomb when it comes to that, y'all. I'm telling y'all. You can reach him on his Instagram at Ice Cold Eric. If y'all know what Ice Cold means, you know what he is, that black and gold. Y'all welcome Eric to the show. Welcome, Eric.
Hey. Thank you. That was a great introduction, you know, other than the Light Bright part, but you know, it's okay. Talk more about that later.
Oh, we're not going to talk about this, Eric. We're not going to talk about it.
I know. It's going to be a colorism episode. You know, I feel it. I feel it coming.
I can't with you. And we got my girl. Listen, y'all, she was my voice of reasoning when I was in the military, okay? My girl, Sarita, is a retired Navy Chief Petty Officer who is originally from Anderson, Indiana. She is a mother of three who loves gardening, peace, I know that's right, traveling, and spending time with family. Sarita has a Bachelor of Arts degree in business management. She is a licensed real estate agent, and she teaches elementary grade levels in her spare time. Sarita looks forward to pursuing her goals of mentoring young ladies. We need that so bad. And speaking on surviving narcissistic relationships. Lord, does it come with a medal? Because I need one. Y'all welcome Sarita to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
welcome, y'all. We got so much to talk about today. I got some questions for y'all because I need to know all different perspectives. Just for transparency, the Gen Zers are me, Eric, and Patrick. Sarita is a millennial. So we gonna cover all facets of this conversation when it comes to what we created. These Gen Z, oh Lord, these different kind of people we got walking around here right now. So what, I'm gonna start with you, Sarita. What do you think went wrong in how our generation approached parenting and mentoring?
Where do I start? I mean, you got a mixture of us and you got a mixture of society. You know what I'm saying? It's always a battle. You know, we always say ministry starts at home. Mm-hmm. But let's keep it real. I mean, yes, that foundation is important. But most of the time, our kids spend more time out there in society. Let me say that. I mean, we work, we live in a society now where it's not one household that can hold it down most of the time. Both parents are working. It's not like you're getting that same family time. Kids, they at school, we at work, you come home, you might get a couple hours with your kids. And not to mention the interaction with social media. We've become lazy. Let me first say that. They were grown into that. That's all they know. But social media and the life convenience has made us become lazy. And to me, you know, we were brought up with a lot more structure. I was giving an example the other day. I told my son, hey, I'll pay you to bring these boxes downstairs and put them in the garage, you know. Just like, you know, back in the day, we would have hustled to make those couple dollars and mm-hmm. we're happy to make those couple dollars. You know, now these days, he said, you know, I'll just make a YouTube page. You know what I'm saying? Just the way we were brought up, it's like we stopped. We allowed the world system to intervene with how we raise our kids. And I talk to my girls all the time. You know, I have two college girls. I mean, well, one graduated, but a 22 and a 23-year-old. We have these conversations all the time, just the difference of when I was brought up and how they were brought up. Even the difference, I have a 9-year-old. So there's like two, it's a lot of different spectrums. Mm-hmm. They are more lazy. I want to just put it out there. They don't believe in working for what they want, you know, to a point. I'm not going to do it like that. You know, I'm old school minded. That's why I say I'm on the borderline of a millennium. I'm an 81 baby and I'm right there, but I'm very old school minded. So I've been working since I was 13. And I tried to instill those things, you know, in my kids. Never cared about getting in line for Jordans, never cared about, you know, trying to fall in line with society and what they, you know, put into their heads. Oh, I need this, I need that, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. You know, I just always try to teach them, be humble, you know, be grateful for what you have. That's just a name. You can be that name. And I don't care who name that's on there. But, you know, as I said, we battle with, it's a lot on us because we become lazy with society and convenience. And then it's a lot on society. We battle against the world. I mean, these days you can't even touch somebody else's child. You can't even yell at somebody else's child. You know, we was growing up, man, I used to get toe up at school getting a paddle or the neighbor down the street. If you don't get your butt home, and you know, like it was just a whole different dynamic. They're so protected. They've been given this privilege and this protection. Hey, if your parents do this, you can call the popos, you know, or you can just so much that is given to them freely. They don't have to work for nothing, you know. So it's really important that, you know, we as that millennium Gen X still instill those qualities, just the culture that how we grew up, because they lost it. I feel bad for my son and his generation as time come, because I do see the difference between, you know, my daughters and my son. It's a it's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I agree with that. What you got, Eric?
You know, I will say we're partially at fault as Gen X. I do think we, in some senses, kind of overcorrected. Mm-hmm. and maybe in some cases coddled our kids a little too much. You know, because we were really the first generation of kids who maybe had parents who've gone through divorces, you know, at a large rate or things like that, mm-hmm. that other generations didn't go through previously because women didn't have as many rights and things, right? And so I think in some sense we overcorrected, but then there are also things that happen, you know, that we as parents, you know, we ushered in the digital age, mm-hmm. but young people grew up in it, right? So while we might know how to use it, it's truly impacted how they think, how they view the world. You know, they deal with things like school shootings and all these other things that they hear about and see, you know, 9/11, you know, all these kind of things that we didn't grow up having anxiety about that gives them anxiety. So like I said, I do think it's on us some, but also I think they're, you know, we couldn't anticipate that the greatest change in human history of the internet would happen during, you know, as we went from young people to parents, you know.
Right. I agree. What you got, Patrick?
They basically hit the nail on the head. We overcorrected because I know, oh my God, you're big at this point in time, Big Mama's no longer with us for the most part. Like, so either our kids didn't get to meet Big Mama, they didn't get to experience that sort of like that variation of structure where like all sorts of things where you ain't gonna be going in and out the house, or if you go outside, you stay outside all day, no matter how hot it is. So, all those types of things. And like with kind of what you mentioned, I mean, with social media, like my kids, I got a 13-14-year-old, so like they're on YouTube and they follow other kids their age and like all these different things that for us, you know, we didn't have as much access to the world. Like you knew who was around you and that was your world. So now they can experience everything, like my kids into K-pop and all this other stuff. That's Korea. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so many levels and variants of like access. So like there's things that they know that maybe they shouldn't know at 10 and 13.
Exposure.
Exposure. Like we could mm-hmm. limit all things when we were kids because yes, the internet existed, but like not really. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't easy access. Mm-hmm. When I was in high school, I got my first cell phone at like 11th or 12th grade. It was a track phone. And that's when back in the timeline where like you had to be real specific about what you was gonna say because you would run out of minutes. Yeah. Go from that dynamic to like unlimited access to everything with AI and the whole nine. We've just, the computer has raised our kids more than we did in a lot of situations. And that is why some of them act the way they do. So I think that is the main reason why our kids, not all our kids, like our specific in this room, but I mean, the kids of the gen, you know, was mm-hmm. it Gen Alpha and the whole nine, that is why they perceive the world the way they do. Their structure mm-hmm. is different and their access is different. That's mainly the reason why.
I agree. And I think I'm leaning more towards like Sarita saying like we're lazy. Like we literally stopped doing the things, because you can still have social media and they can still have access to technology, but there's certain things that we stopped doing. Mm-hmm. Like I can remember growing up on a Saturday morning, you was getting up, you cleaning, like you clean out the refrigerator, you scrubbing these stairs, you look bathroom, you wash the sheet, like all that. They didn't even have to say nothing. You just knew you better get up and get this stuff done. Mm-hmm. Man, it's like pulling teeth to get these kids to clean something now.
What?
Just certain things I think that we just dropped the ball on and we just stopped doing. And I think because, you know, our parents, it was just no nonsense. I'm going to tell you this one time and you better do it or else. Mm-hmm. Now it's like we telling them 50 times and they still ain't doing it and we ain't did nothing to them.
Mm. Well, society doesn't accept the methods our parents use to get us to do stuff. You know, you just can't do that now.
I don't know if that's true because I'm going to tell you, my nephew tested that theory. He actually tested it. He called the cops mm-hmm. and told them that she whooped him. And the cop got there and the cop said, your mother's allowed to spank you. She's allowed to discipline you as long as she's not abusing you.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. My nephew was bad. Like,
hey, he's got guts. I'll give him that.
Change and growth.
But that's what I used to tell my kids. Hey, I'll call him for you. You about to get this though.
Hey, I remember my brother threatened to call once. My mom handed him the phone. He immediately said, chickened out.
I called the cops once on my daughter because she stole my car. She was like 12. Yeah. And no. The cops, when she got back to the house, the cops said, please just don't hit her in her face.
You already knew what time it was.
Yeah.
That's so. What they need, though.
Yeah. I think that that's what's going to happen. But once you test it, they're like, no, you can spank your children. You just can't abuse them.
Mm. On the behind. You just can't be all in the face and legs and doing all that. But I'm getting that butt.
I go to what Eric was saying, though. Like, the methods.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I still be different because, like, you got to think of parenting in our timeline. Anything could have been what you got with it. Could have been, I didn't get this tension quote, but some people did. It could be a belt, a shoe. Like, I'm not saying me, but lots of people kind of, you know, the whooping still happened. It just happened with other things that maybe it shouldn't have.
Yeah, and it didn't have to be your parents. Like, I have been whooped by, you know, people in the neighborhood, you know, like.
Yeah.
Can't do that now either.
My aunt told me up more than my mama did.
So do y'all think
everybody getting a whooping? It wasn't no if you want to everybody getting a whooping.
And they taking you home and say, "Yeah, I whooped your child because they was doing this," and you're gonna get another whooping when you get home. So do you think we've giving Gen Z too much freedom and not enough structure?
I do.
Absolutely.
Because a lot of us were latchkey kids, right? So we naturally would assume that the kids would operate the same way we did. But to your point, right, they got more distractions than we had too, you know? You know, like my son to get on his Oculus or whatever, and you know, he's talking to people in other continents, you know, whatever, you know, like speaking other languages and stuff, you know, you got 10,000 distractions, you know, whereas I just came home, you know, we had three channels, you know what I mean? Like getting a whole lot to do. I had to get things done. So
and this, my older girls always say, oh, you let, you know, my 9-year-old get away with a lot more. And I'm just like, well, I'm not in my early 20s as I was then. You know, like I said, time done changed. You know, with them, I was on them harder. You know, they were females. It's just kind of like him now. So it's kind of like he do get away with a little bit more than what I'm comfortable with. But, you know, I think it's just like, man, that's where it becomes where we become lazy. Because some days I'm G.I. Jane. And some days I'm like, boy, go on, do your thing, you know.
Yeah. But I think when you're older, you have more patience too. You're not in survival mode no more, so it's a little different.
It's that selective hearing when you get a little older. I think
that usually happens. Like the baby always gets, you know, the best version or the easiest version of the parent. You know, I think that's natural.
And then, like you were saying earlier. How, you know, we don't have big mamas and we don't have that older generation that even though I may be a little lenient, they were the ones that was building that structure on them. Oh no, you better get in this field. You about to get in this yard. You about to come and do this. That's gone away. You got to think like, you know, our parents in their 60s and 70s, you know, they had it a little bit, but they a little bit more, you know, lax. Yeah. It's not the same. Mm-hmm. So they don't have that village is gone.
But also I think as we've gotten as after the civil rights movement and segregation became less and less of a thing, I think We've naturally leaned more into what white society does in, you know, in our homes a little more than maybe our parents and definitely our grandparents did, because there was the proximity to whiteness was further away back then. You know, now we're you know, living next door now. You know, well, Molly can do this, why can't I? You know, that kind of thing.
All right. Access. That was a good point you made, because we didn't have a lot of like our parents or, you know, the ones before that, they didn't have the liberty to do a lot of things. And this, as time go by, our access becomes wider. You know, our what you want to say freedom, we're never free, but just that liberty to kind of do what you want. I'm gonna be me. I don't gotta listen to nothing. It is what it is. That's that mentality today. I don't care what nobody says. There was structure then. There was guidelines. You didn't want to jump over that line because you knew you was even there was discussions. And we were scared, you know, from generations, the fear has left, is leaving.
So if you talk about our generation, we couldn't even walk in somebody's yard. Like, I'm talking about, like, you be fearful to go in your neighbor's yard. If the ball went across the line, you be like, I don't know, can I?
Right.
So, you're right. That structure has changed totally. Now it's just kind of like kids don't think like that because they
don't care.
What I do. Man, I had to put some, I had some kids walk around my backyard just lingering, just, yo, what y'all doing? Like, there's a river or like a stream that runs right there. Now, if a kid mess around and fall and drown, then they're going to be looking at me like, why would a kid in your yard? So, to avoid all those things, don't be in my yard, kids. Just,
get a BB gun and start shooting them. No, I'm joking.
God. Okay.
Rubber bullet something.
I'm just trying to get in the house,
Get y'all ass out of here. So, how do we balance empowering our kids to express themselves, and like, between that and creating entitlement? Patrick,
you know.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, if I had to answer that, I'd be a billionaire. I'll say this: one thing I've learned, every kid is different. What I do for, I had three kids, so each one I have to handle differently because they all respond differently to different methods of discipline.
They said, "How do you empower?" Say it again. So, how do you empower?
How do we balance empowering our children or other kids to express themselves and them not thinking that they're entitled to things, like the empowerment versus entitlement?
I mean, that's a really challenging question, because I mean, kind of like Eric was alluding to, you just gotta know your kids. Like, I have a son and daughter who are completely different. Like, their personalities are like, my son is more, he's getting up there in age, so like I have to be tough, but at the same time, like, I just have to listen. Like, if there's always this like breaking point where you like overstep as a parent, where you go from like disciplining them, like as far as like trying to create structure, to like being overbearing, and you have to find where that balance is. Like, when you step across the line and you see that they're trying to communicate something to you, you got to just pause and listen to what it is they're trying to say. Like, that is the only, in my opinion, I mean, I know it's kind of a vague answer, but you just got to know your kids and figure out where that line is, and encourage the things that they seem interested in, and that you will empower them and encourage them without making them go too far to the left or to the right. You keep them grounded that way, in my opinion.
You said something key, Patrick. You said listening. You know, we grew up to where we didn't go to our parents and family to talk about things. You know, that door wasn't available like that. We didn't that didn't even exist. Let me just say that. So, you know, I can say, you know, with my older kids, my biggest thing with them was like good, bad, or ugly. Good, bad, or ugly. Don't hide nothing. Don't ever feel like you can't come and talk to me. You know, I don't care what it is. If you feel like it's going to make me mad, you know, if you feel like, I said, I can handle the truth. Just tell me, because I don't want you to harbor on that, you know, because we went through seasons of our life to where they felt like they couldn't talk, or, you know, but, you know, we've grown so much through trials, through going through things, to now, like, my daughters, they are like my best friends. You know, they know that they can come and talk to me because I made it open. I kept it real with them. You know, I would rather you hear from me than go out in the streets and hear it, or go somewhere out in school and hear first. You're going to know this not new to me. My mama already talked to me, or this has been an open conversation for us. Now, that little boy, a different story. I don't feel. And I'll be looking at different avenues, you know, maybe some other men to talk to, or whatever. But I do feel like he harbor in a lot, you know. I feel like there's a different comfortability. I don't know if it's because, you know, being a woman or whatever the situation. I'm not going to say that he's comfortable with me, but you got to pull it out of him, you know. You can, you know, he's probably dealing with certain things, and I just constantly, like, you can talk to me about anything. I'm not going to be, you know I'll be on him about a lot of stuff, but, like, be straight up, tell me, you know, don't ever fear me to where you can't talk. Because a lot of kids, I remember reading something my daughter had wrote before where she said she felt like her voice was taken away. Not so much of me, that's a whole other conversation, but kids do, they close up. They need to feel comfortable. They need to feel like they're in a safe place. I don't care if it's not me. Hey, if you can't come talk to me, come talk to somebody. That'd be my thing.
One thing I've tried to do with my kids is figure out what they enjoy or what they're good at and relate things to that. So, like, my 11-year-old son, and, you know, he just wants to spend money, right? He just, you know, I want new cleats, I want this, I want that, you know. So I'm like, hey, you know, you got to find a way to earn some money, you know. So we start talking about it, and, you know, like, I'll show him bills and stuff, you know, trying to train him. And so he says, well, I like art. I'm going to make art and sell it online, you know. So he makes a website, and he's, you know, he's trying to sell art, you know. And so for me, at first I was like, you know, almost laughing at this. But now I realize, like, this could be a lesson, right? Like, you know, let me encourage him. Right. To not only work on something he's good at and enjoys, but also to understand that, hey, you know, there could be a market for this. Right. Or, you know, use your creativity to earn some money and not just think you're going to live off me. Because, you know, like, yeah, you got about 6 more years of that. And then, you know, cutting that off. But, you know, and to Patrick's point, also listening to him, because that's one thing. Right. Kids, I do think now, feel entitled to have a voice. I have to let him talk, right? Once I let my son talk, then he's willing to listen to me. You know, I can't do what my parents did, like, you know, don't even look at me, you know, don't even look at adults when they're talking and stuff. Like, you know, that just doesn't work now. He just gets so, I just see the anger. He'll just go, like, go lay down and just cry because he's just so angry if I don't let him, you know, speak first.
But the world is different.
Right.
In so many ways, like, you just can't, I don't know, the kids, you, how we grew up in the world we grew up in and how they are today. Like, before, you 18, you getting out the house, you better go figure it out. You better go, like, we really had it tough, like, in tough in a way where we had to figure out life on our own. I tell people all the time, when I joined the military, that's when I learned a lot of stuff, just being around everybody. But where I came from, a small town, you know, they weren't teaching us life, you know, a whole bunch of things. And so now I'm not pushing. I mean, I want my kids to get out of there, but it's different. Like, if they needed to stay home a little longer, then I would rather them stay home a little longer, because the world is vicious out there. And every 18-year-old, every 19-year-old is not ready to go out there into the society that's out there today, because it's rough. It look easy because social media make it easy money, easy this, you know. So they get that mindset, but they really not ready, because they're, I always say, they're not book smart, they're not common sense smart. They, like I said, technology, everything's so convenient. Like, even school, they don't have to write down stuff, they can just, you got the AI apps, you got the, it gives you the answers. You don't have to use your brain. So common sense is like gone.
You're right about that. I had a coworker in his 20s. His car broke down. I was taking him home. I was like, you know, which we're turning out a parking lot. I'm like, go left, right. He's like, hold on. He had to pull up GPS. I'm like, dude, you don't know how to get home? Like, jeez. But you're right. Like, so he's so accustomed to technology handling everything for him that, you know, there's very little common sense.
That is awful.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. That's so bad. But yeah, I agree with everything you guys said. And I think it's really important to like really harp on the listening to our kids, because that's one thing I think that we got right when it comes to what we pass down from our generation to theirs. I think we got that part right, because I think most of our kids are very expressive and you don't really have to guess too much with them. So I think that's one of the good things, because like Sarita said, like, we wasn't allowed to ask no questions. We wasn't allowed to talk really, like, and we was literally in survival mode almost our entire 20s, like, because we got put out and now we trying to figure out, like, wait a minute, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what I'm doing. And of course, the military, I tell people all the time, it's the cheat code to life. So we had that leg up. But if you think about our counterparts who didn't go in, just having conversations with them now, it's like, okay, you're a little slow. Like, what happened? But it's because they literally were pushed out because their parents were in survival mode still. And if I can get you out, that's less money I got to spend in here.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Gotta go, because I can't afford to keep you here. Now, our generation, we have the funds and the stability to keep our kids home longer, like other cultures were able to do for forever. Now right. We're finally breaking that stereotype to where, okay, we got it. We good. Y'all can stay here and we can help you get on your feet. So I think that's one of the things we passed down. I think we did a great job at that.
Eric said it. He said, we catching up to the other culture and what they already been doing. Like, we have that little flexibility and liberty now, and it's entrapment. And now it's like, shoot, you can't tell me nothing. Like, I'm living my life. I got money now and I got the access to the jobs that y'all have, everything, yep. You know what I'm saying? So it's the arrogance or whatever, you know, hey, I didn't have it before, but I got it now.
Right. But I think like when our kids see us operating this way and then they see social media, they have a sense of entitlement that I think skews their reality and their expectations, because it sounds good to say I could just go make a YouTube channel and make some money. I wish it was that easy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. 500 million YouTube channels, right? Yeah, it's a lot of competition.
And I can go start a business or something. Like, yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. But in reality, those things don't just happen overnight. So I think these kids have a sense of entitlement and their expectations need to be managed a whole lot more, because they're literally living in an alternate reality.
And well, I'm sorry. I mean, good job.
Go ahead. You're good.
But even in what you're expressing there, because everything is digital now, like lots of these kids now are building businesses while they're still in school, while they're still at home. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have the option of just, hey, you think you can go start a YouTube channel and it's going to pop, then do it now while you're still here. Like, we can work together on that. I can, you know, help edit your videos, whatever the case may be. And you have that access to even, you know, you have a backing to be able to try it while you're still in a bubble. And if it don't work, it don't work. You try something else. So versus kind of what you were talking about earlier, where you kicked out of the house at 18, go figure it out. Good luck. And now, you know, it doesn't have to be that. You can, whatever those things are you want to try, you don't have to wait until you're, you know, in your 30s when you finally got enough money to be able to, okay, I'm settled now. Let me go try some things. No, try it now. We'll work on it together. And that, you know, give you that access and that ability to try and fail. And if it doesn't work, that's fine. We can, you know what I'm saying? You have options. Mm-hmm. And whether you are, you know, so you don't have to leave immediately, and we can try while you're still, you know what I'm saying, you're still in in a safe place, if you will.
Yeah.
But I also see our kids have they really even seen a struggle? You know what I'm saying? But again, that's
nope.
I didn't want them to go through what I went through, but like, I remember growing up, we was making syrup sandwiches, bologna. Mm. You know, like it was just a different struggle, but we appreciated it.
That bologna with the part in the middle, man, that was, you know, that was some good eating.
The sugar bread and all that. Look, hey, let me tell you, potty pork meat. Look, I'm gonna tell you, the struggle was real. But to me, that was what life was. I didn't know anything else. So now I wish I might put that in front of my kids. They'd be like, what's this?
I don't get mad
at them because, you know, I always I thank God for giving me the opportunity to get out of that, you know, environment and able to see the world, and I can show my kids something different. So I'm thankful for that. But at the same time, it'd be like, y'all little kids need to go through something a little bit. Y'all need to see a little struggle, a little, you know.
I actually think they should go through stuff. I do. I think they should, because I think that's where the reality kicks in, because when they do leave the house and they encounter certain things, they don't know how to navigate that. Mm-hmm. Their conflict resolution is terrible. They can't think through processes from beginning to end if you give them more than five steps. Like, it's really bad. That's where we did drop the ball on that, because these kids really cannot function outside of something that's already set up and structured for them when it comes to like anything that's not technological. If I tell you to go do this, then do that, then do this, then do this, they're going to come back after the second one like, what else did you tell me to do? Like, right. They cannot follow directions. They can't. If you just test your kids and give them like 10 things to do and see if they can follow it, they can't do it. That's because their attention span is 30 seconds. Social media.
And we were going to forget last time. Look, during that time, we would have got that butt whooped. You forgot what?
I got to come up there and look for it, and I'll find it. That's going to be your ass.
Muscle brain.
Right. Well, right, because we had to memorize people's phone numbers, right? They don't have to do that. All they got to know is how to spell the first couple of letters of the name, and bam, it's right there.
Right.
They know nothing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but I'll say this. I've learned to use technology to my advantage. So, like, my son wants to be a soccer player. So I was like, okay, well, who do you like? You know, because I don't know much about soccer. So he named people he liked. So I would go online and look up, like, what kind of workouts and stuff these people do. Uh-huh. Like, you know, it's a lot of work. You want to do this, you got to do this kind of stuff, right? Now, I didn't expect that he would actually start doing it. But, you know, he does. And, you know, he's progressing through. So even for me, not knowing much about soccer, it's given me the tools to kind of help him develop, right?
Yeah.
And it gives him, it's helped him develop a work ethic, because he feels like I'm doing what Ronaldo did at my age, you know what I mean? So it gives him like a model to follow that, you know, had not been for technology, you know, wouldn't have that information so easily available.
Yeah, he would have had to read it out of the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Okay. Well, but also that encyclopedia is probably 30 years old, so you know.
Right.
You got to get the updated edition. What you talking about?
That costs a lot of money, okay? You know, my parents always buy the out of date one cuz it's a lot cheaper, you know.
But no, that's real talk. Like, that's why I said we've become adapted to the life too of being convenient. Mm-hmm. It's too convenient, you know?
Yeah.
But one thing I realized is the reason our parents kicked us out at 18 or then, because we had reached a point, there was nothing else they could teach us, right? Like, we can hold on to our kids longer because we know more. Mm-hmm. We've done more. You know, like my parents took me to college. My dad gave me $20 and said, have a good life. So I asked him one day, you know, like, why did you just, like, basically kick me off the payroll, you know, when you drop me. I was like, because you reached a point, like, there's nothing else I could, like, you know, I didn't go to college or anything. So at this point, you know, I don't know what else I can offer you, you know, other than, you know, support and prayer. So, hey, you know, go do your thing, you know, like, good luck.
I mean, like,
that's valid. They can only teach us you know, how far they went. So that's some valid information for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we often talk about how this generation, like, they don't like to be told no, or everybody has to win, everybody got to get a trophy. Do you think we're at fault for that? And if so, how do you think that affected their work ethic and resilience? Like that whole everybody gets a trophy mentality.
I never understood it. It never made sense. Eric talked about his son's playing soccer. I played soccer when I was a kid too. And I remember, I mean, I'm slightly younger than a couple of y'all, but I remember playing in like soccer tournaments and all that good stuff. And at the end, like, even if your team lost, everybody got a trophy. But like, I never looked at it like this is a legitimate like offering. Like, we didn't win. Like, so I didn't pass that down to my kids. Like, there's going to be a definitive winner. There's going to be a runner up. And, you know, if you win or you don't, it's fine. But if you don't win, like, you still have opportunity to try again. Uh-huh. But the whole everybody wins thing, it never computed in my mind. So yeah,
right.
I think for most of us, it wasn't something we passed on because it just never made sense.
Right. I agree. I'm the same way. We ain't all.
Yeah. Crazy. I think some people are just naturally more competitive. Mm-hmm. And they'll, you know, like my son won't even shake hands with the other team if they lose. It's like he is pissed, right? Like, he doesn't care about trophies or any of that. I think some people are just naturally more competitive, and so they're just gonna be naturally driven to try to win. I think the whole giving kids everybody a trophy, you know, for some kids that might stifle their competitiveness, but I don't know if it really makes a difference, because also it's, you know, how do I say it? It's almost like once everybody gets it, it doesn't. I think whatever meaning that trophy had is gone. I think even to the kids receiving it, I don't even think they value the trophy when everybody gets it. So I don't know if it makes that much of a difference. I think we're just wasting money, to be honest with you. But
I think it gives the kids who suck a false sense of reality, because I think they need to be told that they suck, so that they can work harder. And I tell my son, like, when he used to talk junk and he was trash, I'm like, yo, shut up, because you're embarrassing me. I don't want the people to know you're my son. You got, like, if you're going to talk like this, if you're going to talk like this, you better go put some work in and do something on this field, because you sound crazy. It's like, no, you don't get to watch something on YouTube and think you could do it and then go talk junk about it because you watched it on YouTube, but you didn't actually do it.
Right.
Nah, you're trash, and I used to tell him every year, you suck, and now he's good.
Yeah, definitely a big one, not downing or talking about nobody else, because you never know when them tables turn. And I always told my kids, just have fun. It's competitive. I'm a competitive person, so like, I used to coach and everything. So like, I don't want you coaching me, Mom. I'm like, no, when you tell me you want to do something, I'm a push you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the thing. They don't like to be pushed. They so sensitive. Mm-hmm. They can't even handle the pressure. Like, it's just the game. Like, I'm coaching just like you just playing. I'm coaching, but I'm in that coach mode.
Right.
But all of them more of just like, go have fun. If you don't win, hey, you still a winner. Try harder. You know, it's really all about what you instill in your kids and how you talk to them throughout the process, from, you know, little kids as they grow older into the sports. You're going to have them losses. You're going to have them win. Just always, you know, keep it positive.
Yeah.
Let it push you harder.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think, like, at a certain age, you got to be real with them. Because if you tell me you want to do something as a profession, oh, I'm about to be on your head. Yeah. So don't tell me something you really want to do, because we about to do it.
We're going to do it. But
If you continue to play as you get older, you're going to know if you suck. You know what I mean? Like, my parents could tell whatever, and I got dunked on. I know I got dunked on. You know what I mean? Like, it's you know, you figured out if you keep playing long enough.
Delusional. These kids be delusional, I'm telling you.
Okay. I'll take your word on that one.
And I think because, you know, when we grew up, I think across the board, like when we got to high school, you had to try out for the team. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had to go look at that list to see if you made it. They don't do that.
Don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so you making them think they good. No.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I could, because I did coach 7-on-7 football, like middle school and ninth graders. And, you know, yeah, like, depending on who the parent was or things like that, sometimes we would you know, our head coach would be, I don't want to say forced, but choose to play certain quarterbacks or things because their parents donated a certain amount of money to the program or something. These kids suck, you know what I mean? But
your parent coaches and stuff like that. No, that's how I be. Like, you know, he needs to sit down.
Why you ain't?
I'm telling you, my child needs to sit down. They ain't no good. Yeah, put him on the bench.
Yes, look, I be telling the coach to bench my son if he suck. I be like, sit him down. Sit him down. He done messed up again. Sit him down.
Right.
I get laid nerves.
And to your point, like when we did things, like I realized in like middle school that baseball was my sport and not basketball, right? So, you know, I'm not gonna try out for the basketball team. I'm gonna focus my energy on what I'm good at, you know. You know, backyard basketball is okay, but like, you know, am I gonna, you know, play in college or something? No, right? Let's be realistic. I'm 5'10", you know, it's not gonna happen. So let me focus my energy on something else. And, you know, so I think it's good to be realistic with kids. And, you know, like I said, you know, we figured out pretty quick if you suck at something, but, you know, maybe it does take longer now.
Yeah. Look, y'all be honest with y'all kids. Don't have them out there looking crazy. Because the other kids going to tell them eventually, and then they're going to hurt their feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
But plus, they have the advantage now. They can watch it back. So you should really know if you suck. Because if you didn't figure it out on the court, when you go back and watch it, you know, like we didn't have as much video as they do now. So it should be really imprinted on you if you suck.
Oh, my God. That is funny. So what can Gen X and millennials do now to reset the tone with Gen X in the house, in the workplace, wherever? Like, how can we reset this and make it? Because I had a conversation with one of Eric's buddies yesterday. I won't say his name on my show. But he was.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Having a conversation with one of his coworkers who's, I think he's a Gen Zer. And he was just trying to like talk him down because the guy was so angry and he was literally just talking about a video game. And he was like, are you being serious right now? And he was like very angry. And he was like, I can't even talk to him because this dude is like losing his mind and we're at work. And he's talking about a video game that he's angry about. So he didn't know how to even engage to have the conversation. So how can we even, like, how can we reset this? How can we, I don't know if we could fix it, but how can we start to bridge the gap between them to have conversations to show them like, okay, listen, you sound crazy. This is
because what we find important and what they find important are gonna be different. So I think starting with that, acknowledging that fact is probably the only thing we really can do. And then try to figure out, well, what is it you find important? Like, why is it this video game has you on the verge of, you know, losing your job? You know, like, help this make sense to me. You know, help me help you, right? Because especially with younger people, Gen Z, they want, you know, they're used to being able to express everything, right? They grew up in social media. They grew up with everybody expressing how they feel about everything, you know? Yeah. So we have to be ready for that, you know. Unlike us, we grew up, you know, you could be seen but not heard, right? You know, heck, I think my brother was like 6 years old before everybody knew he could talk, you know, because
I think it's gonna be complicated, but I think for us, we have to back up what we talk. We have to be consistent. Whatever we are trying to teach or put out there, we have to show that in our life. We can't just talk about it and not be about it because they pay attention. They're not listening to your words and you're not backing it up. So with our generation, I think it's just being that example. you know, if we are mentoring, or if we're speaking to our kids, or if we're speaking to that generation, we definitely have to be that example, because they watching, they're watching everything, you know, how we present ourselves to the level. So I'm not saying that it would be a total change, but I think us being consistent and being that example and not being lazy and standing on our ground, you know, keeping our fine line, I think that will help. Hey, even a few, it makes a difference. It may not touch everybody, but I think that will make a difference with that generation for sure.
So I gotta start going first. I'm taking my answers, man.
Like, just say, I'm taking that. No.
There you go. No, but yeah, being an example, being a living example. I've seen David Banner talk about this quite a few times, and he was liking it to people being conscious rappers. He was like, "Why would the new generation want to be conscious if they see it doesn't work? Like, they're like, okay, well, this person broke, and they talking about all this important stuff, but like, I could talk about, you know, sex, money, murder, and sell a zillion records. So like, it's the same concept. If you are saying that these values are important, that, you know, hard work and dedication and all these things, and they don't see you, the person explaining it to them, living that life, then why would they listen to you? They wouldn't. They're just gonna continue feeling like, well, I know better because this, the other side of the coin seems to be working. So, you know, whatever you're talking about, they just disregard. So yeah, you gotta walk it like you talk it. You gotta be that person for them to take it seriously and be able to bridge that gap. That's it.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I think we often hear the women of that Gen Z era, where they talk about how they present on social media, and like, either they'll say they weren't raised or taught to be a wife or taught to be a certain way, or they'll say like, my generation and millennials are still acting like them, so they don't have a model to emulate. So it's like, and this is where I think my topic came from originally when I thought about it, was just thinking about how these young girls talk, and I'm like, whoa, how did we get here? Like, how do, because it's such a stark difference from how my grandma raised me to how these women are talking now. Was like, how did we get so far removed from the family unit? How did we get so far removed from women speaking like women, or even men acting like men? Like, how did we, it's so opposite from what we used to. Cause you know, back in the day, especially with granddad, you rarely heard him talk. And if he said anything, it mattered and everybody shut up and they listened. He didn't have to get out. He had to say a lot of stuff, but when he spoke, everything stopped and y'all moved with quickness. You have like men talking, and they can't, for some reason, their voices aren't being heard. Their message isn't resonating. And I don't want to use like cliches or anything, but the word of the year is like, they're sassy. They're not being men. They're not masculine men anymore. They too chatty. They're on these podcasts. They're doing this. And I will commend men for opening up to even talk, because I don't think either one is all that great to be on either end of the spectrum, to be super quiet and not say much, or super talkative and say too much. But like, just, we have come so far from how women are presenting themselves now. And I think for my generation, I will put myself in that, we did not do a good job overall, not with just our individual households, overall with young girls, and showing them how they should be presenting themselves and speaking publicly, whether they got bonnets on their heads walking in public places, whether they're talking loud, cursing, acting crazy in public. Like, I don't think we did a good job with passing the torch to them and showing them how they should be presenting themselves as young ladies.
I think we're part of that, like I said, that Gen X, where we walked into a society where women became more independent. You know, life changed, you know what I'm saying? The households changed. Women felt like they were more powerful. And I mean, I can go deeper back into when drugs got put in there, when HUD got put in there, when they separated the family, separated the men. Men couldn't live with the women. It's a whole, it goes deep, of course, where our families were broken up. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, I don't think as women, we ever wanted to feel in control or wear the pants. Like, we were kind of forced into that, you know. Society kind of forces in that. We had to
work. Mass incarceration, right?
Yes, mass incarceration. Like I said, HUD. You couldn't, you know, they could move in if you got caught with your man living there. You had to get kicked out, or you wasn't gonna get no assistance. So there were things in place that was separating the Gen, you know, the Gen X, you know, world, and women became, like I said, we had to work. So, and then men, you know, it was just a lot of distractions. It was a lot of things out there that we were facing as women that men were facing as men. And I just feel like that just kind of separated us as families in a whole. Like I said, it go way deeper. It's not just now. That stuff, you know, rooted back to some decades ago. That's why I get frustrated when I hear people talking about, you know, they talk about the black man and the black woman, or women want to be independent. I'm like, let's go back some decades. You know, that stuff is rooted back further than that. You know, some things we just kind of flow into. Not that that's a choice. We just flowed into what was, we in this box. We in this American box, you know. So we have to abide by the laws or whatever they may have going on that kind of make us restructure. And I think that's affected our generations and generations to come too.
Yeah.
Yeah, systematic, right? And it's worked in some cases. It's worked.
Absolutely. I want Ray. Is this, does it say Ray Hammer? I want you to expound on that. He says, "Let's not be scared to get to the meat of this problematic paradox." Can you expound on that? I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about or what that's pertaining to, but it sounds interesting, and I would love to get into it. But yeah, I think the definitely the post-traumatic slave disorder is a problem. And Sarita, you said something that I kind of just like put off a light bulb when you said the, because we always talk about the men not being allowed to be in the home, but we never talk about how these two distinctively different situations. The man is out here, he's trying to figure it out. The woman's inside trying to figure it out. And they're two totally separate problems that they're dealing with separately. Mm-hmm. And now the irony of it is, now we see people on these platforms having conversations and arguments about the man's plight and the woman's plight, black in specific, and how neither one of them is listening to each other. Because we were never, like, we're trying to get back now after we don't know what y'all was going through over here, and y'all know what we was going through over here. And now we're trying to come back and figure it out. Like, this is one of the most biggest, like, gaps between in a culture, and we cannot figure out how to bring it back together because there's, oh, woe is me here, woe is me here, and nobody listening to each other.
It was, well, that was the purpose. That wasn't even started by us. I'm like, I ain't gonna get too much into it, but that was designed to separate us as black families. I'm gonna just keep it real.
Absolutely. I tell people the projects is called the projects because we were the project. We were their project.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And I just wish black people would stop fighting with each other, like on these platforms with the man versus woman. Like, how do we get back together if we keep arguing with each other about what each other's not hearing?
I tell you one thing, we need some sort of regulation on who can have a podcast. Because
oh my god,
listen, everybody needs a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, hey. Oprah say you get a podcast, you get a podcast.
It's like how many different ways can we slice it, dice it, and talk about this same thing without a solution? Oh, here we go. See, I knew it was coming. Women sacrifice family for happiness. Men sacrifice happiness for family. That is not true. And this is one of the topics I'm talking about. That this conversation happens a lot. It happens a lot. And I don't want
to
get...
Well, to Patrick's point, you know, social media and YouTube and Instagram have made it easy for, you know, the kids to have a seat at the adult table. And... You know, unfortunately, most people's motivation is not to bring people together, it's to get clicks or get likes or get views. And so arguing and things is, you know, like, you know, you can watch sports and, you know, have arguing shows and things. So, you know, and then you have the people who are hurt you know, the men who don't like women who, you know, just want to go on and call them names and things. And then, you know, vice versa. So I'm not just hippie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's across the board. But mm-hmm. until you have people whose motivation is to bring people together and that platform is supported, you know, it's, you know, unfortunately, it's kind of how it's going to play out.
Can you put that comment?
I like what you're doing here.
Yeah. Because I want to address this like head on. Because I when I tell you I've seen this comment so many times and I heard this topic so many times, it frustrates me. Because not only have women sacrificed their happiness for their family for generations, it is literally, we were the blueprint for sacrificing our happiness for our families. It has only been what Sarita mentioned earlier, when they separated us as families, that this whole separation has happened. Now you're talking about women who were finally allowed to get their independence, where they didn't have to depend on a man for certain things. And they realized that there were other things out there. Not that they were sacrificing their family for anything. They just actually realized that they could be happy doing other things other than being in a family.
Also, this comment assumes that family doesn't make a man happy. I don't like that assumption. You know what I mean?
And then add, we had to step in, not because we wanted to. You know what I'm saying? We didn't sacrifice because we wanted to. We wanted to lean on that man, but that man was ripped from us. Let's just say that, you know, that's been a stigma for slavery time. Let's even go back then. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the 70s. Let's go back to all of that. But we had to rely on ourselves. We had to rely on other women because we were left there. They were left there at home because the man was taken from us in a lot of different ways, you know, distracted or whatever it may be. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It was never a choice. It's forced.
Right. And like Eric said, I hate that it's this like thing across the board where people make it seem like men are so miserable when they marry. Like they're just miserable. Like they just made this ultimate sacrifice and they like, oh, I'm gonna just lay down my life for the family and my happiness is gone and I'll get nothing because I have a family. Like, where is this? I don't know. It's
he going in on now.
What's the comment say, Fred? I know. I already know what's going on. Most men love women, not chaos goblins.
What?
Hence, which is why men are going. Oh, take that off my screen. I ain't got time for that shit. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. Yeah, I don't have time. Right. Just tell me you pay for prostitution without telling me. I ain't got time.
Oh, wow.
No, you know I had Passport Bros on my other podcast, and I'm not even going down that stupid ass rabbit hole again. Mm-mm.
Just because it's easy, that don't mean that's the route you're supposed to go.
Of course it's easy. Y'all pay over there, but don't want to pay over here. You call a girl a gold digger over here, but go over there and spend all your coin. Man, shut up. Anyway, next question, because he even pissed me off. What is one thing that you hope Gen Z learns from us?
Resilience.
Well, that's good.
That's what I hope they learn.
Yeah.
You kind of alluded to it earlier about their ability and problem solving skills and how, you know, being street smart, whatever the case may be, because life's going to knock you down no matter what route you take. Somewhere along the line, you're going to run into some major resistance to whatever is your goal that you're trying to accomplish. And I hope that our kids learn from us that, you know, if things don't go right, you got to keep going. Like, you can't just stop. You have to revamp. You have to figure out a new route. You have to do whatever you got to do to make it happen. Like, I hope that they learn that toughness, because they are so used to instant everything. You know, kids in today's timeline think that a 5-second ad on YouTube is forever. We had commercial breaks. I'm just saying, like, they're so used to getting to whatever it is they're trying to do right quick, right now. They got it. When life really like smacks you in the face, it just needs you to take a moment, recalibrate, keep going. Resilience. Don't stop, and just to continue doing whatever you got to do to keep moving forward. So I hope they get that from us.
I like that. That's necessary.
Absolutely. Reap what you sow. You know, plant those seeds and you're going to be more, it's going to be more rewarding. Don't think that everything is going to be easy. And always know that the tables can turn. You know, you can always be that person at the bottom or whatever the case may be. Always give an example to them, like, what if everything shut down? What if you know, they always talk about the power grid going down. Mm-hmm. I said, what y'all going to do if that happened? Are you going to mm-hmm. be able to survive? Are you going to be able to take care of yourself? You know, my daughter said, Mom, I'm just coming to move with you because you were be having all the survival stuff in the garden and stuff. But real talk, like, mm-hmm. I do those things just because I just feel like I need to. And I don't want to be lost out here if something ever was to go down. So I do try to instill it in my kids, but always know how to operate in this world without technology. Because mm-hmm. one day it's going to happen where mm-hmm. we're not going to have that. Rather what time frame it's going to be for a short moment or long period. Are you going to be able to survive without technology?
Mm-hmm. They can't even survive when Facebook go down for a minute.
Sheree, I'm coming to live with you too. Hey. So yeah, I
mean. Hey, I'm telling you, I'm just preparing myself for whatever. But no, that's just something I love to do anyway. But for real though, I do feel like it's gonna happen, and I just want them to know, mm-hmm. hey, be knowledgeable outside what's convenient. Mm. Read. Ooh, study, you know what I'm saying? Find out. Don't just look what somebody is saying. Dig deeper, because everybody's saying everything out here. You know what I'm saying? With that, with the word say, study and show thyself approved. Go out there and find out yourself. Read. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think I'd want them to learn to block out the noise, which is probably even more important now because they can have so many voices and so much noise. You know, like so much more than I, you know, when I was a young person could even imagine, right? So I think it's even more important now to just learn to block out the noise and focus on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. I would say ask questions. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know everything. And I think they have access to a lot of information, but they don't use it as like they should. And they don't ask questions because they just literally think they just know.
Right. Like, wisdom is application of the information, right? And what they're lacking is the wisdom. Yeah. Right.
Let me tell you what my son did up there, y'all. And I'm telling y'all, it made me so angry. And I'm what did I go wrong? So he had this brand new bottle of cologne. He dropped it in the driveway. So I went outside and I got it because he had left. I bought it in the house to put it on the table. And the top had came off. But he had several bottles of cologne. So I said, did you get your cologne off the table? He said, yeah, I just threw it away. Why? He said, because the cap was gone. But you have other cologne that you could have put the cap on. He said, but I got to use that cologne too. I'm like, but you could have put them back and forth.
Right. Away nothing. We gonna repurpose.
I was so irritated, like, for real. But I don't know, like, their minds just don't, they literally just don't work that way. And I don't know why.
Hmm. Oh, you can order something else. You can just go buy something else.
That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm going Amazon, cool. Order another one.
Because it's somebody else's money, yeah.
Without no cap, trying to get the squirt. Listen,
that part. You know, you get the little white part. It ain't got no piece to it, but you gonna get a little bit on that. Look,
man, yeah. But that's just one thing. So, what is one thing you hope they do better than us?
He done stomped us.
Look, I feel we winning. Hold up.
I'll go first then. Okay. I hope that they, and I think they're kind of doing it a little bit. I hope that they take parenthood more seriously when it comes to girls protecting your womb, because it's sacred. and only giving it to your worthy partner. And I hope that boys will protect their seed because it's so valuable. And I think that they should, I'm hoping that they will be selective in who they plant their seed in so that we can actually have a generation of families and not just baby moms and baby dads.
Mm. Awesome. That's an awesome one. Definitely. Just keeping that family together. That's mm-hmm. really probably one of the biggest things. Just I tell my kids all the time, like, you know, I want to start that tradition where I don't care what's going on in life. We're going to get together multiple mm-hmm. times throughout the year. Keep family together. That there's a gap in that. You know, I remember growing up with my cousins, my mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, everything. My kids didn't get to really experience that. You know, it's just different. Everybody has moved different places. Everybody don't live in the same town no more. Everybody don't live. Mm-hmm. Always be connected with your family, not just your siblings, but your cousins, everything. Because family, at the end of the day, they might be a headache, but they everything. You know, family gonna always be there. And just keeping that, keep family together. Don't get too far off, drifted off.
Yeah, I agree. I like that.
I hope that they protect their mental health better than we did. Because it goes back to that, you know, survival mode. We are grinding, we striving, we just keeping our head down, we just doing the thing. But like, we're not really, we're taking way more damage over the years than we realize. And it's not till we get to our 30s, 40s, 50s, when we finally start like putting the pieces together and understanding like this is where things went wrong, because we've been holding on to all these traumas and bodies from the past that like we're dragging with us. If they just prioritize their mental health in all realms, their peace, like I hope that that is something that, and it seems like it is, it comes up a lot more often in this generation, but I hope that it continues. I hope they continue to do that better than we did.
Yeah, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say understanding money and ownership. Mm. Because they have access to so much more information now at a much younger age and things. And and in some cases, especially like with college athletes, and in some cases even high school athletes, you know, getting money at a much earlier age than athletes in my generation. So just understanding the power of ownership, finding ways to make your money work for you, you know, and it's, particularly in our community, you know, when you money does come your way, how are you going to use that to build generational wealth? You know, I think that's going to be super important, and hopefully they do a much better job than our generation did with that.
Generational wealth, you said that part right there. Just that's a conversation I have all the time. Just we didn't grow up with that stuff passed down to us, life insurance, home. I mean, everything that wasn't, what was that? You know, we had to work for everything that we had or whatever the case. I said, let me tell you something. Make sure you prepare to not just take care of your kids, to take care of their kids. The white community been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
And that's why they have wealth in their family for generations and generations and generations. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we done had so much taken from us. When we get it, we just want to keep it and not, you know, have to set up. It's not our kids' responsibility. Once they get out in the world, they got to figure it out. No, we should already have them a step ahead. You know, it should, and like I tell, not just my kids, their kids, generational wealth
is
major.
Absolutely.
Take notes on that one, generation. generational wealth.
Yeah. And I also like when you talk about the wealth, because I think I want to say our parents were very apprehensive about us not working traditional jobs. Like they were very, you know, you got to get a 9-to-5. You got to do this. And we kind of broke away from that. Like, no, we can do this and we can do this. Mm-hmm. And I think that now, for some reason, this generation is kind of talking down on 9-to-5. Like, hold on now, that 9-to-5 gonna help you pay for that entrepreneurship. So that stability, no benefits, like all of that stuff. Learn the tools and the trades that you're working in so you can emulate that in your business if that's what you want to do. But I think this whole the misconception that's being displayed on social media when it comes to entrepreneurship is getting a little out of hand. Because I think they're getting a little too delusional when it comes to that. Everybody's not going to be an entrepreneur. Let's just put that out there.
No, you're wrong, Didi. Never have a boss, okay? Never have a boss. My son Boogie, he sells cookies, okay? He's got equity. Never had a boss. Let me explain something to you.
If every person became an entrepreneur, who they gonna hire? Mm-hmm. You got to have workers.
Exactly.
Everybody's not built to be. There are roles for everybody. Everybody's not built to be an entrepreneur, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if I open a company, who gonna work for me if everybody entrepreneur? It doesn't make sense. It's not even realistic to think that way.
And to your point, you're absolutely right. Like when you talk about how social media and things, you know, it's gone overboard, right? With people. Particularly people like, you know, these coaching businesses, right, where they're just all recycling the same customers and thing, you know. But yeah, you know, and of course people always exaggerate things, you know. There's a whole Instagram page where this guy makes fun of entrepreneurs podcast, you know, where he's mocking
people. And a lot of these people are out here literally lying. They're getting arrested for fraud because they're not even what they're saying that they are when it comes to their business. And that's why I want people to be very cautious about thinking that. I'm not saying that you cannot be an entrepreneur, but the reality is that everybody's not going to be one. And everybody's not going to be a successful one either. And that's what I mean by everybody get a trophy. Stop lying to these people. No. You can try it. It may work, it may not work. But just know that don't down talk a 9-to-5, because that's what has helped most of these entrepreneurs get to be an entrepreneur and get that financial, because they use those funds to fund that one. And now they can be an entrepreneur. But if you being a lash tech, that's not entrepreneur to me. You don't have nobody. Where your employees at? Mm-hmm. Like we gotta stop with it. You own a business, but is it financing your lifestyle? Can you pay all of your bills with this money?
Yeah.
It's not realistic. Just because I can say I own a business, just because I can say I'm entrepreneur, if that ain't paying my bills, listen, I need my 2 checks from the government and I need my IT check, okay? Because this other stuff is fun, but it ain't financing my lifestyle.
Right. Yeah. I think us as Generation X, we and millennials had a good balance of, because baby boomers, all you knew them was working factories and working jobs. Yep. Like, I still look at some of my aunts and uncles, they still in that factory life. You know, that's just what, how they were trained. You know, then you get to the Gen X and the millennials, you know, you get a mixture of that 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're getting that exposure, you know, getting our own business. Probably the last, you know, 15, 20 years to me, I would say, where, you know, okay, let's focus on making your own, generating your own income. And now, like I said, this generation is like, 9-to-5 who? I'm not trying to work.
You're starving. You have no money. What are you talking about?
I want some easy, quick money. I don't want to work hard for it. I just want it, you know? I'm just like, you only need to do a little bit more than that. Because like you said, you need to live. That's not enough to create that generational wealth.
Yeah.
And it was a study I just read not too long ago that employers are actually very apprehensive to hire Gen Z. Because their work ethic is trash, they don't show up. They their communication skills are horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they argue about video games.
Oh, I can't come in because I just didn't want to wake up.
My niece, that girl that has so many jobs, and she only what 20. I'm like, girl, you work somewhere else now? What did you?
Yes.
Go to school. Okay, go to school.
Look, we don't see them kids out in the neighborhood no more. Can I cut your grass? Can I do your yard work? I was just saying that. I said, where are the young men at trying to do yard work?
Look, I fired my lawn guy and told my son, it's your job now. I'll pay you. I'm not paying nobody else, and you sitting right here.
But you're still encouraging him to get out and work. Like, you're giving him incentive to be independent, even though, you know, you're going to make him do it anyway, whether you pay him or not. But still, that's still positive reinforcement.
Yeah, right. Only because I don't want him to work, because he does way too much. He don't even have time to work. Mm-hmm. So.
But that's when you can employ him at home, you know, the building the foundation. That's your job. That's your job. You see their yard? You see these chores in the house? That's your first job.
Yep. All right, y'all, I got two more questions for y'all. I asked everybody to come on my show the same two questions at the end. Oh, Eric, you had something? I'm sorry.
No. I was just saying two questions. I'm
First one, what is the best advice you've ever received?
Oh, my goodness.
Patrick, you go first because they always.
Right, I'm about to say, Patrick, I ain't going first.
The first thing that popped in my mind when you said that best advice I ever received is someone told me that if you can do the things that you dread as if you love it, then you'll be successful. I feel like that's the best. People's just our natural tendencies, things that are unpleasant, we stay away from. Whatever that might be, it varies for different people. If you can do those things, I mean, for some people it'd be like going to the gym. If you can just do the thing that is unpleasant as if you love it and give it that same, you know, attention, the same fervor as if things that you do enjoy, then you'll be successful. It would be nothing that can stop you if you can have that approach in life. That was best advice.
I'm clipping that for my son. I'm clipping it.
Flip it up.
I want to put this comment on the screen because I want to snap, but I'm not going to snap. I said I was going to be good this week.
I can see it. Look, I can see the comments and I'm just like, okay.
I can't see it, but put it on after the advice question.
Go on, put it up there, Fred. Fred won't put it up there. Programs need to be created to teach these young girls on how to be a wife.
Oh, God. You got to be careful when you say stuff like that, because whose definition of wife are you using?
And
society and God. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be really careful. That's too broad.
And what about the opposite end of that? To teach these young men how to be a husband? Like, are we throwing all the onus on the wife, on the woman? Is that?
Can we go there real quick? Just for a second? Because to me, that's where it starts. There's order. And I've always believed this. It's God, it's man that's the leader. To me, I always felt when a man is doing what he's supposed to do, I swear to you, when he is being that leader, that household is going to fall in line. That wife going to fall in line. Them kids going to fall in line. I do feel that. I've always felt that. Order. You know what I'm saying? That's why I always say when all y'all figured out, not all y'all, you know, some of y'all doing y'all point, but when y'all stand in y'all rightful place I promise you, the women gonna fall in line. You know what I'm saying? A lot of men, and I'm not, like I said, not down talk, a lot of men want to be leaders, but they're not really leading. They want to feel like, oh, I'm a man. Just because I'm a man, I'm a leader. No, there's a lot of things that go with being a leader. You can't expect me to follow you as a woman if you lead me to the ditch. Like, we smarter these days. We're more knowledgeable. So, like, really, that man being in place, can't nobody teach you how to be a wife or a husband. Let's just keep it real. That's just something that's instilled in you, and you got to want to learn. Can't no program, just because somebody else do it this way, a wife this way, a husband that way, don't mean that's going to be your way. I believe when a husband and man come together, they're going to create their unity, how they create their unity out of love, and long as God is covering that or however it go, but ain't no program going to teach you how to a wife, because it go. So you want the wife to get in line before the husband? The husband got to get in line. Order.
That's the problem. We out of order. Out of order. And Greg Bloomfield, hey, Greg, he said, not every woman wants to be a wife. That doesn't make you less of a woman. Thank you. First of all, the person who made the comment about the training program for women is the same person who said to go overseas. Make it make sense. So you're going to go overseas to get a woman who you got to pay for. That ain't wifely. But you want us to be trained over here to be a wife. I don't even understand. You see why I don't entertain passport bros? This is why, because their logic is so skewed.
Well, yeah. Best advice I got is not to pay attention to comments online. No.
Oh,
Best advice I got was
women.
Life is 70% of just showing up, or success is 70% just showing up.
Eric, come on, I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm trying not to get into this gender war that I'm reading here.
Hey, women, I feel you, Eric.
Get out here.
Greg said, be a wonderful person before you become a spouse. Absolutely. That's all it is. Because when you become one with somebody, you're going to be molded for that person. Can't no program teach you that, how to be a wife or a husband to your person. Because y'all going to learn that together.
Right. Because how you were with one person does not mean you're going to be the same person with the other. Every person brings out a different version of you.
Sir, you need to go talk to somebody. But anyway, figure out what's going on. I don't know what it is. I don't know who pissed you off today or in your life. Get my book, Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma, because normally it is rooted in childhood trauma, because normally when you respond in this way, it's some kind of pain that has not been uncovered and not been addressed. That unhealed and unmanaged trauma will have you talking like that, because this is insane. We ain't even talking about nothing like this. And you in the comments talking about women making men that they hate. That's insane. Ain't nobody said nothing on this panel about hating nobody. And for some reason, you in the comments talking about hating the other gender. That's pretty problematic, and it's concerning. For real.
Yes, some lady broke his heart.
So
or man, anyway, go ahead, Eric. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Success is 75% just showing up.
You're right, because a lot of people got ideas. They come up with all these things that they want to do, and they never execute them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or don't come to the next meeting, or just don't show up. Right. You know, whatever.
What is that? Kenny, I mean, I see, look, my son get on my nerves so bad, I'm calling you Kenny. We're not reading nothing else he puts up here, okay? No, it's not, because we're not going to read it. Who's next?
Some of the best advice definitely is one. If you want something, go after it. You know, don't settle. Put your all into it if that's something you really desire to do. One of my other things, and Didi, you know, I'm a believer of being an owner and not a renter. Mm-hmm. I'm not paying nobody else's mortgage. Look, even though look, I got my wars about these HOA crap, but. So my mindset now is I need my own land. So
yep.
That's the next goal, because I don't like feeling like I'm controlled, even though I'm supposed mm-hmm. to own. That's why I said freedom ain't never free. But definitely, there's just go after, live your life to the fullest, and always do you. I know I spoke on this before. People gonna always have something to say, whether you're doing something good or bad. If it makes you happy, you're at peace, baby, go with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yes, indeed. Ooh, child. I should have had a drink today. Last question. What advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
That was the best time of my life.
I'll go first. I would tell my 15-year-old self, try everything.
Ooh.
Like, don't feel like you have to pick one specific thing and like focus in on that, and that's all you can do. Like, try everything. Mm-hmm. Any interest you have, give it a shot and see if it's for you or not. Like, I know for me, I had a lot of that. Like, it's got to be this or that. Like, you can't do both, or you can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, very kind of narrow-minded, small-town thinking, where, like, you can only be one thing. I would try everything. Mm-hmm. That would be what I would try my 15-year-old. So, I played an instrument. I was in band for, you know, middle school, high school. I played multiple instruments. I tried that. I did well with it. Okay, well, I was interested in being a DJ. I was interested in being a television personality. I was in, like, all these various things. Like, just try it all and just see where things land. Like, don't feel like you have to go in one direction or the other.
Mm, that's good. That's good. Can you put Greg's comment up? The same person in the comments. Greg said, best advice I would give my younger self is it matters who you marry and how you pick your friends. Oof. That's so evident. Mm-hmm. Some people do not have friends. Lord.
Yes.
Hey, Diddy, we were talking about that the other day with that post online about people not having good friends. But
I mean,
your friends ain't your friends.
They be like, yeah, girl. I'm like, no, girl, you look a mess. Don't do it.
Right. I would tell my girls, I said, your friends in high school is probably going to be one or two that make the cut.
Yep.
I said, don't even get too attached. I said, as you go in life, you're going to see who your real friends are. Don't get your feelings hurt. You know, protect them. Keep your circle 2%. That's 2% circle. That's your real one's going to stay there for sure.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
But the best advice I would give my 15-year-old self is just be self-aware. I do feel like when I was in that age, I was just flowing through life, just whatever. I wasn't aware of myself, though, at all. Like, I didn't know how to see myself, love myself, any of that. It was just really, I think at 15, you are trying to see where you fit in. Mm-hmm. You're going in multiple directions. Learn how to love yourself and just be self. I needed to be more self-aware, and I wish that I was. You know, I didn't really get that till I was older, to where I really was in tune with myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was non-existent at 15. I just feel like I was just living life and just enjoying it and just go. But who was I? I couldn't even tell you who I really was or what I really felt or anything. Right. You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing I really wish I could change.
Yeah. But my sister was just talking about that. I think that's something that should be instilled in us. Like, there are certain things, like as a teenager, somebody has to pour into you. Because of course, you know, our brains aren't fully developed yet, and we're really just out here floating around trying to figure stuff out. But we're talking to our, we just think about how we talk to our kids. You're like telling, you're pouring stuff into them to make them know who they are, to force them to think, to be self-aware. Those things, because, you know, the dynamic of our parents, we just didn't have those kind of conversations. It just wasn't, that was never going to happen. You just had to figure it out. So, but I think that's really good advice right there. I never answer these questions, but I'm going to answer this one today because I never talk about myself ever in that aspect, especially my younger self. Shut up, Eric. My 15-year-old self,
not heard.
I would tell myself to love myself more than thinking a boy loves me. Just because he's giving me attention doesn't mean he actually likes me. Because I don't think I was aware of that at all. I really just in my mind thought that, oh my God, he said I'm cute. Oh, he likes me. Not knowing, oh, he just wants to sleep with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while for me to connect those dots. Like, sleeping with me does not equal liking me. And that, I think, comes from not having a dad to tell me these things or having a strong male presence at all.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you these things as a young girl, you just don't know that. You really just believe that you are, people are how you are, and they're just genuine people, and you just go with it. So yeah, I think it's saying the self-awareness. Yeah,
the attention.
Yeah, yeah, it was bad. It was real bad.
I feel you.
I appreciate y'all for coming on the show. Y'all were amazing. This is a great episode. I think it helped to give some insight, and hopefully somebody will share it and the Gen Zers will see it someday and take some of the advice that we gave them. So thank y'all for coming on the show. And y'all know this is the point where I let you guys, you know, tell people how to follow you, announce if you have anything coming up that you want to share with people. It's your time to shine. Patrick, you can go first.
All right. You guys can follow me on Instagram, on TikTok. At DJ P Nominal. If you guys are looking for a DJ for your wedding, private event, bar mitzvah, anything of that nature, definitely reach out to me. I've got a few public events. I do a lot. I primarily work in the private sector, but I do have a few public events. I've got a Halloween party in downtown Raleigh at the Museum of Natural Sciences on the 24th. and a different Halloween party, which is actually the day after Halloween on November 1st at Phillips Farm in Cary, North Carolina. So if you're in this area, definitely make your way out. Those are fun events. Yeah, like I said, reach out to me at DJ Pnominal, P-N-O-M-I-N-A-L. That's how you get me. Okay.
The Black Dragon.
Save for another episode. I'll tell you about another episode.
Yeah, I need some details on that. I'm a little interested. Eric, what you got coming up? Or how they can follow you? Eric?
Oh, all right. So for me, of course, if you're looking for an app or custom website, anything along those lines, reach out to me at Ice Cold Eric. You know, I don't want to say too much, but there will be a very exciting fitness app coming out in the near future that you guys will hear more about, I'm sure, if you follow this channel. So it's going to leave it there.
What you got, Sarita?
You know, I'm in my little chill era, but hey, if y'all want to know about some gardening and some making some medicine, some herbal, look, some herbs, all that's where I'm at right now. I was in real estate. I am going to, you know, revisit that. I'm here in Indiana, you know, just some things like that. I'm really a chill, laid back person. I'm just on my retirement life right now, enjoying my kids, doing a little extra stuff, pouring back into the city as much as I can when I can. I am on TikTok. I got a little variety of everything, but it's AngelFace2878 on TikTok. You got Angel Eyes Wink on Instagram. You know, holler at your girl. You know, I got a little variety of a little bit of everything. I do customized material too. I do make logos, t-shirts, all that stuff. When I say I'm a jack of all trades, master of none, I kind of do a little bit of everything, really.
So, that's military in us.
That's just what it is. Look, former IT, all that.
Look, me and Sarita used to work together my last duty station, which was in Tampa. And Sarita had to talk me off the ledge. I was like, Sarita, I can't buy another house. I'm never going to be able to get another house. She was like, girl, what are you talking about? If you don't go buy a house, I was like, I can't do it. I was so scared because I had such a bad experience with my first house. I was like, no. But she talked me out of it and I actually bought my house. So I'm happy I did that.
You can't be paying somebody else mortgage. Shoot.
You ain't lying. So I'm like, oh no. But y'all know who I am. I'm Dee Dee Leggett, aka the Core Queen. And I have a lot of stuff going on, but I ain't gonna bore y'all with that. Y'all need to just follow me on all my social media platforms, Dee Dee Leggett or the Core Queen Fitness. And then of course this YouTube channel, the Core Queen Chat. I need y'all to subscribe, like, comment, share this video. Tell your people about the platform. Listen, y'all. I'm telling y'all now, I'm going to announce my guest next week, but it's going to be major. So y'all need to make sure y'all turn that notification bell on so you know when we're live next week, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's a major guest. I promise y'all. You will not be disappointed. I'm excited to have them come on the show next week. So please make sure you tune in. And I have a special announcement tonight. I have a new sponsor. What a Diva Wears Boutique is my official sponsor for all of my looks. This is the dress.
Yes.
From the collection. Shout out to Elena Roberts, who is the founder and creator of What a Diva Wears Boutique. And I'm excited. She's going to be providing my looks for my red carpet events, my show, you know, as much as we can get some good looks in, you know. So I'm very grateful for that. And I appreciate her from the bottom of my heart for reaching out to me and asking if she could be my sponsor. So pretty awesome. Also, I wrote a book. Y'all need to buy it.
Yes. Oh, look, and let me just add, I'm in like chapter 7, halfway through. Juicy, good stuff. Get that book. Yes. I want to talk to you about that. That's some good stuff. Get it.
Please buy my book. This book was one of the most difficult things I've ever done in my life, was writing this book. It's called Breaking the Cycle of Childhood Trauma. And it really focuses on my upbringing, but also it's a guide so that I can help moms and daughters navigate their relationships and just giving them some tools on how to better be mom and daughter, because that dynamic is kind of strained a lot. Unfortunately, writing this book has completely fractured my relationship with my mom. She no longer talks to me anymore because of the book, but I'm glad I wrote it. I don't regret it at all. Yes, it hurts not talking to your mom, but I mean, she wasn't ready to heal. There's nothing I can do about that. We're going to move along, and hopefully this will help other people heal. So y'all go on my website, buy the book, thecorequeen.com/book, or you can get it on Amazon, but I prefer you get it on my website.
Okay.
If you get it on my website, I will sign it for you and send you some little cute gifts to go with it too. Is that all I got? I think.
No, your movie.
Oh, yeah. This weekend. This weekend, my short film, D's Night, is up for another award at the Peachtree Village International Film Festival in Atlanta. It's all weekend. I'll be there Friday to Sunday. So I'm excited about the award. Even if I don't win, I'm so excited that they're going to be screening my film. People get to watch it. And we're also working on creating a full feature film for this. So my cast will be there with me. I'm so excited about that. Stevie Bags Jr. from BMF, my script writer, she'll be there. Selena Austin. Hopefully she'll bring her kids. They're both in the film. Trenton Johnson and little Kevin from, his name is Jarrell, but Kevin from BMF is also in the film. So hopefully we have a good time this weekend in Atlanta. And this is the last film festival that I'm doing with this short film. This is number 6 that we have been nominated for and or won. So I think we've done our due diligence in the film festival cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's on to full features next. And as Eric alluded to, I will be having a fitness app coming out soon. It's pretty intense creating this app. Eric and his team have been freaking amazing with helping me from beginning to end. And we're almost ready to launch. We're in the testing phase right now. So, because your girl is tired. I don't want to train nobody else. I want y'all to get the app and train yourself. Okay. And leave me out of it. But it'll be a full app. It'll have my meal plans in there, workouts, all that good stuff will be in there. So just be on the lookout for that coming up soon. And it's going to come along probably with a really big partnership. I haven't really told anybody yet. So fingers crossed we have somebody that's willing to come in and partner with the app. So I appreciate y'all once again. And I'll see y'all next week. Same time, same place. Yeah.